There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tomorrow's a big day, folks, and we will be providing coverage from 8 p.m. to midnight tomorrow night. Myself, Dave Cohen, and our guest, John Cuvion, political pollster, strategist, and founder of JMC Analytics and Polling. John, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on today.
John, it is finally here, my friend. I know you're probably weary, tired.
It's kind of anticlimactic at this point, isn't it?
Yes, it very much is. Let's talk a little bit about what we hope to cover tomorrow evening. There's a lot going on. It's not only really about the president and the vice president, but it's about a lot of down ballot races and also some governorships that are up for grabs as well that have a lot to do with what the political flavor of the day is going to be.
Yes, I mean, this is basically kind of an all-in-one kind of election where not only do we have a tight presidential election, but there is the issue of who will control the House and the Senate. There'll be some state houses. We, of course, have our six congressmen up tomorrow. In other words, lots to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. The polls, I mean, flip a coin. You're a pollster. Yeah. They're basically all within the margin of error, and actually the vast majority of them less than 1%. I don't know how you draw a distinction at this point in time. I guess it's safe to say flip a coin.
Well, that would be the safe way to go, but from looking at a lot of other pieces of data, all of them are pretty consistently pointing to a Trump win. And more specifically, I have been looking at the level of partisan enthusiasm from primary voting, from voter registrations, from early voting, from exhaustively looking at the polls and seeing what happened 2 weeks ago, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if indeed there were movement towards, let's pretend, Kamala Harris, it would have been picked up in one of those many signals I've looked at.
Right. Well, let's talk about voter registration, because I was hearing some numbers the other day that were pretty incredible. I hadn't been following that very closely, and I was shocked that it seems like the first time in a long time the Republicans outpaced the Democrats in a number of states.
Yes, and what's happened, you have to appreciate as kind of the backstory that in a presidential year, that is when the bulk of new registrants will want to sign up, because the presidential race basically drives everything. And traditionally, Democrats have done very well with voter registration. 2020, things changed because, of course, thanks to the pandemic, you weren't having these voter registration drives. But even against that benchmark, voter registration this year has been much less compared to 2020. And yes, Republicans have been running the tables pretty much across the board, including here in Louisiana, where I want to say the Democratic plurality is down to 80,000.
Wow. That's interesting, because in a number of states, you guys as pollsters know what that delta needs to be for one party or the other to really prevail, right?
Yes, and the important thing, too, is if I were to see strong Democratic enthusiasm, which certainly was the case in 2008 when Barack Obama was elected president, I would be seeing substantial increases at the last minute of registered voters, typically starting around August, but going into September and October. I've not seen that at all. And not only is voter registration activity down by about 50%, but like we already mentioned, I'm seeing Republicans doing much better. So that, to me, is one of several signals that Democrats, well, people aren't into this election, but the aren't into this election is much more on the Democratic side than on the Republican side. And lack of enthusiasm is worth a point or two in the final analysis.
Yeah. Let's talk about ground game for a moment. We here in Louisiana are not a swing state, so we've not, you know, it's not been readily apparent to us. It really hasn't been revealed to us about the breadth and depth of either the Democrat ground game or the Republican ground game. I know you talk to a lot of your peers around the country. What are you hearing?
So I think what's a very good, I mean, both parties are going to spin all their ground game efforts. But I think the truer, I guess, measure of how effective it is, early voting pretty much starts in mid-September around the country, and then, of course, it gradually reaches here in Louisiana. Part of that ground game would be getting people to early vote. And what I have seen here in Louisiana and elsewhere, people are a lot less mail-in voters. There's some more in-person early voters, but the more important thing is, Republicans, for the first time that I could ever recall, have a lot more energy with regards to early voting, and I don't think that's the kind of thing that you can suddenly turn off tomorrow.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Obviously, they failed in that regard last time around, right? And it seems as though there's been a huge... Go ahead.
I'll even give you a specific number just to kind of appreciate what's been going on around the country. At this point in time in 2020, 101 million had early voted already, and the Democrats had a 10-point lead. As of this morning, the 101 million is 79 million, and the 10-point Democratic lead has melted down to 2 points. So when I'm seeing, not just with voter registration, but with early voting, that there's very little visible signs of Democratic activity, again, that to me is telling a big story. And what's really interesting, Newell, is in the mail-in states like California and Oregon and Washington, we're talking about mail-in voting being down 40% relative to this point in time in 2020. I don't think you can make up a 3-touchdown loss with 4 touchdowns in the fourth quarter and holding and not letting your opponent score any.
And those, the significance of that, because I talk about that a lot, John. Those are states that really have scrubbed their voter registration rolls, because they also believe in mail-in voting, but they also believe that the only value of mail-in voting is if your voter registration rolls are sacrosanct, right? So you're not going to get a lot of problematic voters there. And if they're down 40%, that is really telling there, because that's almost their preferred way of voting. Correct me if I'm wrong.
In fact, not only is it the Democrats' preferred way of voting, but in states where they have nothing but mail-in voting, like, say, Colorado and Oregon and Washington, when I'm seeing mail-in voting several million votes less than what it was at this point in 2020, to me, there's obviously a reason that people are holding back their ballots, and I think a large part of it is lessened enthusiasm on the that is hitting more on the Democratic side than on the Republican side.
I hadn't followed that close. There hadn't been a lot of reporting, actually. The mainstream media hadn't reported on that phenomenon that you just outlined at all, that I can recall. I mean, have you seen that anywhere?
Here and there, but the dirty little secret about it is it takes a lot of work to compile all that data. because you're talking about each state has their own reporting cycle and their own way of disseminating the information and so forth, I basically made it kind of my extracurricular activity, so to speak, for the last 2 months. And, you know, when I'm seeing a 10-point lead melt down to 2 points, that's very telling to me. And by the way, in Louisiana, what happened was, for the first time ever, Republicans led in early voting for 10 days in a row. And even though the volume was almost identical to what it was 4 years ago, what happened was you had more people in person, less people mail voting. Black turnout went from 30 to 25%. And I'm seeing that kind of thing happening in Georgia, North Carolina, which, of course, are more swing statey than we are.
No, absolutely. It's interesting, some of the characteristics that you just outlined. You've been doing this for a long time. I don't recall those type of movements that often in the last two decades.
Right. And what you'll remember, I want to say it was in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina that early voting was first introduced to Louisiana. And in the gubernatorial election of 07, I want to say like 12 to 14% voted early. Well, this year with 965 or so thousand early votes, I think that number is more like 47%. In other words, half the vote is already spoken for as you and I are speaking now.
Yeah. John, I've got a text here. It says, I call BS. Do y'all not remember COVID inflating the mail-in ballots?
Question.
Right. But when you go to the midterms, you had similar numbers, did you not? That were really post-COVID?
Let me answer the COVID question because, you know, I've answered it. It's a good question to ask, but I've answered it 500 times. And what that is that if, let's pretend, a decrease in mail-in voting were accompanied with an increase in in-person early voting, I would shrug it off. And by the way, that's what's happened here in Louisiana, where we traded one type of vote for another. But when I'm seeing the trade involves more Republicans and less Black, I'm afraid the gentleman that's saying BS perhaps has not done his research as well as I have.
Yeah. There was an anomaly. I got another text here. It says, Iowa, anyone? You guys seem to be skewed to the right. So tell us about what you see in Iowa.
So what's going on in Iowa, and this is something that the Democrats are all excited about starting Saturday night. So polling has been showing small and steady gains to Trump. And even in Iowa, where he was comfortably ahead, well, this pollster put out a poll Saturday night showing Kamala Harris ahead, which, okay, that's interesting. But I can tell you a couple of things that, again, don't get reported. Number one, this pollster, she has wide swings in her numbers. In other words, in 3.5 months' time, a Trump lead of 18 went to a Harris lead of 0.3, which you don't see those kinds of swings in politics, number one. Number two, if I were seeing all of a sudden all kinds of other polling being released that mirrored this one poll in Iowa, I might be inclined to give it more attention. But for those reasons, I just shrug it off as, well, occasionally you have that wild poll at the last minute that gets a lot of attention. And, well, it'll be one of those things that we remember post-election day as kind of a Halloweenish type of moment.
Yeah, it would be one thing. I mean, it's one thing to have a swing of that large, but when you see all the other polls don't even have a semblance of a momentum swing, right? I mean,
correct.
So there's not any that even embrace the smaller sphere as opposed to the larger. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And there's another thing too. The individual who asked about Iowa, well, the dirty little truth is there were two polls from Iowa that were released on the very same day. There was, of course, the Ann Selzer poll, which the Democrats are happy about. There was another poll released by Emerson College that showed Trump up by 10 points.
Interesting.
So there's a little little more context to what about Iowa than just that one solitary poll.
And in full transparency, the pollster that gave the pro-Harris, you know, the poll that came out pro-Harris, she's actually well respected in y'all's circles.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's not this fly by night poster, but and that's not what you're saying. But every now and again, I'm sure you've had that similar experience where you have this anomaly that shows up. You got to report it because it is what it is, right?
Yes. And by the way, another interesting thing, too, about that poll, and I do encourage people to look at the whole story. So it did show Harris up. But another thing about the poll, which strikes me as a bit odd, one of the things that's fashionable for pollsters to do to make it look like they're adequately representing the population, they'll ask the voter, who did you vote for in the 2020 presidential election? With the idea being that since Trump carried Iowa, I think by 7 points in 20, that a poll asking that question should similarly show Trump up by 7. It showed Biden ahead.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So like I said, there's more to the story than just that one number, but it's a good discussion topic.
So last question. You and I will be together 4 hours tomorrow evening. At the end of that experience, if you're a betting man, do we know who the next president is?
I'm still going to go with, based on what I've seen from voter registration, from early voting, from polling.
No, what I'm talking about is from the results.
So we're going to be able.
But from the results, you think at midnight tomorrow night we'll have a pretty good feeling about who the next president is?
By midnight or 1 o'clock, yes, because two states that are going to report very quickly and they have fairly early poll closing times are North Carolina and Florida, and both of those have about 70% of their vote that is early vote, and it'll get reported in a flash. I mean, you remember seeing, 4 million votes pop up on your screen at 7:01 p.m. on Florida.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting, and then it could all come down to Pennsylvania. Here we go again.
It could. And you know, the thing that I think is a good guidepost to tomorrow night, regardless of what your opinion is on who will win, there are truly seven states that matter. The three blue wall states, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan. You have Arizona, Georgia, and North Carolina, Nevada. And that's really it. Everything else, you could pretty much call it now, but we'll, of course, wait for those data to come in.
Yeah. Look forward to tomorrow evening. As always, John Cuvion, political postal strategist and founder of JMC Analytics in Poland. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you at 8 p.m. tomorrow evening. All righty. We'll be right back, folks, and we're going to visit with Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon, to talk about the release of head coach Dennis.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Dennis Allen. In their official release, the New Orleans Saints announced today that head coach Dennis Allen has been relieved of his duties. Special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi has been named as the interim head coach, and joining us to talk about this is Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon. Bobby, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Neil, thanks for having me. I was a little bit surprised, not that Dennis Allen got fired, but that it happened, you know, after this ugly loss to Carolina. But I guess, come on, Carolina's terrible. They're the worst team in the league, and they ranked in last, and all either last one before last in a number of categories. So I think enough is enough. I thought it probably was going to occur two things. Either at the bye week, you know, they got Atlanta and they have Cleveland, then they have the bye before they host the Rams. The next three games are at home. So I thought it could be the bye week, you know, depending on the outcome, maybe would happen in Atlanta and then Cleveland. But I think it was just so bad against Carolina that Ms. Gale went old school. Like before her husband, you know, Mr. Benson, owned the team. In 1980, you know, they went 1-15. You know, at that time, that's when Dick Nolan was the head coach in 1980. Archie Manning was playing quarterback. I was in college, playing college football that time. They were 0-14, beat the Jets in New York, and then they lost the last game. So they finished 1-15. And Coach Nolan was fired in the middle of that season in a losing streak. So, no, you got to go back to Mike Ditka days, which is over two decades, right, in 99, when you have a seven-game losing streak. You know, it was bad six-game losing streak. And now you go to seven games, and really, they were just no one was bought in anymore. And you might, and Dennis Allen, he'll tell you, you know, he's a good man. But you got to win. The NFL's a bottom line business. The results matter. And he's had opportune times to be a head coach. I know he's an NFL coach, whether his background was defensive backs or as a defensive coordinator. No, you know, and who knows, he might end up in Denver with Zach Street's now. Yeah. I mean, that would not surprise me if down there all of a sudden, oh, look, Dennis Allen is now on the Broncos staff with Sean Payton. But, no, he had many opportunities with the Raiders and the Saints. Overall, as a head coach, he's only won a third of his game. And all of a sudden, oh, he's a 500 coach, but he wasn't even 500 with the Saints. So something had to be done. And so I guess maybe the timing, but I'm not sure. I didn't think he was going to last to be the head coach next season, put it that way.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I know this is not a popular position, Bobby, but I, too, like Dennis Allen, liked him as an individual. I know a lot of people that know him personally. They think a lot of him. And I've actually liked the governance style of the Saints relative to the way that they manage their personnel. I don't always agree with them. I know you don't always agree with them. But I think it's been steady. You know, we've seen some NFL organizations, they're all over the map. You feel like you're in a whack-a-mole game, and you never know who's on first and what's on second, right?
Well, the owner of Carolina, he's crazy. David Tepper, he's worth about $20-some billion, and he can't understand why, you know, he's always been successful probably at a number of things, and, oh, I can do this NFL thing and make his Panthers win. But no, he seems like he fires someone every year. Oh, I'll pay him off. I'll just get a new coach. And no, so the Saints aren't run that way. But yeah, so when you talk about the consistency now, you know, the Who Dat Nation, a lot of fans, they say, well, clean house. I said, well, I don't know. I'm just speculating here. I don't know. Mr. Benson could have been in his deathbed and sharing this with Ms. Gale. And it's all about trust. And you look, the people that Mr. Benson has trust in was Dennis Flauscher, Mickey Loomis, Greg Bensel, and the loyalty that they had to Mr. Benson. Well, and I said this Saturday. I was doing a show at Ralph's in Biloxi. And I just said this, that I wouldn't be surprised that they're not going to clean house, but you might have different roles. Mickey Loomis ain't going nowhere. Everybody wants to get rid of Mickey Loomis. He's not going anywhere. He has a lot of power. But you might need, not with from within, but from outside the building, to get another general manager. So I always thought this. I thought the fall guys, because where we're at right now, obviously, Dennis Allen, the head coach, and the personnel guy. Who Mickey knows trusting for the players? Because we don't have no young, great players. We have one. We have, if you look, 26 run, I'd say Eric McCoy is great. He's elite. He could start for every NFL team, whether it's center or guard. But other than that, like Chris Olave and all, no, they're good. They're very good. They're not elite. They're not great. So who's giving the advice? Would that be Jeff Ireland? And he hadn't really hit since 2017. So I could see Jeff Ireland. I'd be surprised if he's around next year simply because look at the number one draft picks that we picked and invested in. They haven't worked out. And then I could see very similar. I said this on Saturday, and not that they would do this, but Mickey's not going anywhere. But how can you still be a part of the Saints organization and be a lifer, especially in the 21st century, and how long Mickey's been here? Well, very similar to Rich McKay. Rich McKay, his dad was old USC coach, the first coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then Rich McKay was running the general manager, was running the Falcons. Well, Arthur Blank loved him. He ended up getting fired, but then he's promoted, like president of the organization. They went and get a Saint, Fontenot. Fontenot's the general manager there. So I could see Mickey being the liaison, along like with that three-headed monster with Dennis Allen, Mickey, and Ms. Gale. And for instance, Ms. Gale doesn't want to go to owner's meeting. That's kind of maybe with Arthur Blanger sometimes, and Rich McKay will go. Well, Mickey Loomis will go represent the Saints and Ms. Gale Benson at the owner's meeting. And then almost like be, you know, kind of behind the scenes. Now, Mickey's still young. I'm going to say he's like 3 years younger than me. I'm going to say he's like 61 or something. But, you know, he has some skins in the wall, but I think Mickey wants to win because you got to give him a lot of credit. He brought Sean Payton, and then they got Drew Brees on board. But Mickey would want to win maybe and proceed as the man in charge without Sean Payton and Drew Brees being around. Well, I don't know if he'll maybe get that opportunity, but when I look where Mickey's at, no, he'll be a Saint. He's a lifer, and it might be almost like, well, he's a senior consultant. And so I think it's much more than just, we got to get rid of the head coach, you know. And then six, seven, eight coaches get fired every year. So now yeah. They have two. They got the Jets coach and now the Saints coach. And the Cowgirls, he's getting ready to get fired, I think, in Dallas. So you can just look at it. You're going to be – see, watch at the end, it's always like this. Six, seven, eight coaches get fired. So that didn't surprise me that Dennis Allen's no longer here. I think from a personnel standpoint – like Jeff Ireland has a lot of NFL experience. He could be another one. They could get rid of him. Also, oh, Sean Payton, I have a great relationship with Jeff Ireland. They'd hire him and bring him to Denver. I mean, so you're just like a military, Brad. You just have to be willing to move in that profession. And you might have to go north, south, east, west. But if you got good networking and you know what you're doing, you have opportunities. It might not be in one place, but you have a lot of chances.
Bobby, as a player, and I know, you know, you've been around this for a long, long time. I mean, when I look at this, there are a lot of the intangibles that are completely and totally outside the control of a coach, right? I mean, you know, and sometimes you have that perfect storm that's good, but you can also have that perfect storm that's horrible. And it seems as though this year we're kind of on that track of that perfect storm that's horrible. I mean, just – it just seems like we hadn't got a break that has gone our way.
Well, with the injuries. The injuries. And, you know, every team, you can't use that as an excuse because every NFL team has injuries.
But when it is what it is.
When it comes in bunches at one position, no, like you can have, okay, we have one offensive lineman down, linebackers down, or whatever. But all of a sudden, if you – you know, and there was question marks going into the season. If you have three out of your five starting offensive linemen that are hurt, well, and in the center, the quarterback at offensive line, and then you might think, like Derek Carr, he's not a miracle worker. And then you look at just the game against Carolina, a whole secondary. Now, you got Paulson and Debo's out for the season, Lattimore hamstring, and then you had Kool-Aid McKinstry hamstring, and then you had Alante Taylor was the only one really that they were counting on. Honey Badger's old. That's another thing. Our household names and the stud players, we're freaking old. I mean, it ain't nothing because we all get old. Like, I played till I was 37. I'm telling you, like, Cam Jordan, where he's at right now and what we're paying him, you know, I knew you always want to get rid of a player a year too early than a year too late because we're paying Cam Jordan now for what he accomplished, not with what he's doing in the future. Whether it be Cam Jordan, I think DeMario Davis has lost a step. Honey Badger, one of the greatest LSU players ever, the playmaker that he is, he's old. I think Alvin Kamara still got something left in the tank, but that's when I said earlier we don't have no young great players because he's going to be 30 years old next year. And who are we counting on? So that's why the salary cap hell we're in right now, you know, you push it down the road. No, I think right now that the trade deadline's tomorrow. If we're doing something, do you move or try and move a guy like Lattimore? You know, Mickey says he never wants to get rid of great players and all that. But I think now officially we are truly like in the rebuilding mode. It's not all we're going to build upon and continue what Drew Brees and Sean Payton established. No, it just shows you how the mighty has fallen. That took only 3 years and crazy, you know, because you think, oh, this is going to go on forever. But no, we've crashed and burned. And like I said, I was joking, you know, in the post game and all, and I'm kind of new. I think you like this. You're an optimist. I look at the glass half full instead of half empty.
Right.
Well, then you look at the previous loss for Carolina. And I said, I think the damn glass is just empty. You know, you can't. And then we had the bottom. And I said, we lose to Carolina. We had the rock bottom. And I thought under Dennis Allen, where we we middle of the pack. We're not going to be good enough. We're not going to be bad enough. We'd be middle of the pack. Then, boy, then you look as of 2 weeks, I think we went from, maybe we in the 20s, mid-20s. You know, at least we about with 6, 7, 8 teams. Now we're in the 30s. And that's either the one before last, the number 30. That's how we fall, and that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. So, Bobby, you look at the glass half full. With that perspective, is this a good thing or a bad thing relative to the release of Dennis Allen at this juncture?
I think it's a good thing. I don't know what it's going to mean as far as wins and losses, but just having a different voice in the building. Coach Riz is going to be more passionate. He's more like Sean Payton-like. You know, you can't be like a fake rah-rah guy if that's not your personality. Dennis Allen never was going to do that. But Coach Rizzi, he's real emotional. He's been a head coach before. He interviews for the head coaching job with the same team with Dennis Allen. And you might say, well, we're going to have a special teams coach as our head coach? Well, one of the best coaches in the NFL is a special teams. That's his background, John Harbaugh with the Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
He's one of the great, and Coach Rizzi is considered top five, so no. He might turn this thing around and show why maybe not only the interim head coach, but be the coach of the future. That happened recently at LSU with Coach Ogeron. Les Miles gets fired. Coach O kind of turns it around. He becomes the head coach. They win a national championship. So Coach Rizzi is going to look at it. Hey, here's my opportunity. Even though I'm an interim head coach, that could be my job maybe next year. So that's why and the players are being evaluated. You know, the players is, get rid of the coach. The coach is the problem. Well, as a player, if you're going to be a pro, you're constantly being evaluated. And if you want that NFL lifestyle, now you better go do something. And if you're not playing for the Saints, you got to get the other team's attention that they would want you on their team. So that's why, we're not winning, so I'm not playing. And then you kind of get pouty and all that. And then you're going to have to go get a real job and you'll be out in the NFL. You got to take pride in yourself. Look in the mirror. What can I do to make a difference? Whether it was Dennis Allen or Coach Rizzi. Sometimes you don't have these young players. They take it for granted and don't realize, boy, to last a decade plus, you have to have your priorities in order and realize a lot of responsibility. Just look right there in the mirror. And it's not so, the coach did this, the coach did that. No, you got to put it upon your shoulders and then take that responsibility yourself.
Absolutely. I used to say all the time, Bobby, I can't manage a 70% player. If you're not 100% in, I really don't want you. Because one thing I know for certain, there are 12 other people that are willing to give me 100%. You know?
And you know what? And there's one player, he's probably the greatest cornerback in Saints history. I'm not surprised, but I think he is. and that'd be Marshawn Lattimore. I don't know sometimes with his attitude. I think if it's not going well, I mean, I'm not saying his hamstring's not hurt, but it seems like if things aren't going well with the team and all, we ain't going to win. He takes himself out of the game. Now, you might say, Weber, you don't know how hurt his hamstring is, but I kind of viewed a lot of times Lattimore's attitude, and I've said this before, kind of the defensive version of Michael Thomas on offense. Just a bad dude in the locker room. Kind of a cancer. Just look at Michael Thomas and how he's throwing Derek Carr under the bus. And all you look at with social media and you know, talking about hospital passes. No, that pass he threw Chris Olave, that is a hospital pass setting him up to get knocked out. But he didn't throw those kind of balls with Michael Thomas. And Michael Thomas needs to worry about trying to get in another NFL team. Why do you think Michael Thomas is not in the other NFL team? Either he wants way more money than teams are willing to pay him, or they don't want him in the locker room. He'd be a bad influence in the locker room because Michael Thomas has a skill set to still be playing in the NFL. I mean, wouldn't he have the right attitude, want to be with the Chiefs and Pat Mahomes? Come on. You know, they got DeAndre Hopkins. But that's why when I look at some of these players, you could be great and talented, but I want the total football player. The total football player that is not only committed and has the ability physically, but committed mentally. You're not tennis to golf. You know, the only way you could be a jerk as a football player, you're playing a team sport, if you could sack the quarterback. If you could sack the quarterback and you're available and you're not always hurt, then I've been around some crazy players, and everyone just stays away with them and puts up with them because they produce. It's a production business. And that's why the pressure's now on the players. You're playing for your lifestyle, for your career. And it might not be with the Saints. It might be with another team, but you're constantly being evaluated.
Well, don't take this the wrong way, Bobby, but I think all of y'all that have played the game are a little bit crazy.
Well, you have to be. I mean, it's controlled violence.
Exactly.
It's controlled violence. You know, you know what I always like, though, but I'll never get that feeling again when you're, like, walking through the dome and you're walking through that tunnel, the pregame. No, I truly, my crazy head, because I like history and all that, I felt like a modern-day gladiator.
You were going to war, baby.
and you know, it's controlled violence. You know, I'm not saying it's like life or death, like actual battle.
Yeah.
But when I got 11 concussions in 15 years, it was a job. It was work. It wasn't just fun. Remember, I got my front teeth knocked out in 1989. I'm thinking, I don't even like football right now. I'm just trying to survive.
Exactly.
So that's challenging when you're dealing with that.
So you put that into context of Thomas complaining about the ball being 2 degrees to the left as opposed to the right when, you know, you got six players that are so much bigger than you and you're running for your life and trying to throw the ball, right?
That's why people say, well, what do you know? Man, I had Reggie White and Lawrence Taylor tattooing me. You know what I mean? So the two of the best in NFL history. So I've been there, done that. I'm not a journalist giving my opinion. Oh, what did you like behind a pass rush and stuff? So, no, but listen, to last a long time in the NFL, you got to be a team player. You got to be. You got to produce. You're constantly being evaluated. You have to have luck with injuries. All of that has to come into play. But the only one I know that you don't have to. You can be a quarterback. You never can be an introvert because you know. I always said this, Neil, that if I, you know, you go to college. I don't know what I'm majoring in. I ended up majoring in business administration and marketing. And I said, if I'd have known that, if you're a young player, you want to be a coach, or you let's say a quarterback. Just major in psychology.
Yeah.
Be a psychologist, and then all of a sudden, and because how you motivate different people is all different. Some you have
Absolutely.
To get on them and chew them out, other them you got to constantly praise them to produce. And I know the ones that weren't blocking at times. I remember this guy, Darren Gilbert from Cal State Fullerton, and he'd be getting beat. If I got on him and chewed him out, he'd play worse. That means I'd get hit more. So I had to constantly tell him, it's all right, keep hanging in there, you can do it, you know, keep fighting.
It's like, please, please, please do it.
Yeah, yeah. Then you had Stan Brock, the mountain man from Oregon, with the University of Colorado. If you talk to him like, come on, Stan, I know you could do it, he'd look at me like I was a big wuss or something. I'm like, what? Like, get on my ass. Get me motivated. So you have to, how you talk to different players to push the right
buttons. No doubt. All right. Well, they play the music, Bobby. I got to get out. But thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate your time and your insight for certain.
All right, Neil. But you know what? I say we always split with Atlanta, even though no one thinks I can beat the Falcons. Watch, the Saints will beat Atlanta on Sunday.
That would be a welcome victory for certain. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. For those of you that missed the interview with Bobby Hebert, you can go to our website shortly and you'll see it there. A statement from Dennis Allen. I want to take this opportunity to first and foremost thank Gail Benson for the opportunity to be the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. The organization will always be near and dear to my heart, and I am disappointed the results weren't better. I also want to thank Mickey Loomis for the support he and his staff provided throughout the entire time I was with the organization. Coach Dennis Allen says he was proud to have worked alongside some great coaches, both as an assistant and during his time as the head coach. To those men, I am sincerely grateful for the time and effort they put into their jobs. I am also grateful for the entire staff that worked hard to provide the support and will miss our daily interactions. To every player, thank you for your efforts and contributions. As he said on Sunday, I never question your dedication and resolve. I am sorry the results weren't better, because they were certainly deserved. And lastly, to the Saints fans and residents of New Orleans, I want to thank you for your unwavering passion and support of the team. I realize what a privilege it is to coach a special franchise in a great city, and I will fondly remember the opportunity I had to coach the Saints. I wish everyone with the Saints the best of luck and success going forward. That's a statement from Dennis Allen. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. And tonight at 6:30, Bobby Hebert and Mike Haas will interview the new interim coach, Coach Rizzi. Check in, Coach Darren Rizzi, at that hour. And coming up right after the top of the hour news break, Guy Williams. Stay with us.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.